Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Our Lord has so many wonderful things to say to his people. The guidance of God is for us, not against us. Every time the Lord speaks, whether it's in the written word or the guidance of the Holy Spirit to you personally, or from the guidance of the Holy Spirit from other anointed men and women of God, it's to the advantage of our future and our prosperity and well-being to listen to him. Yesterday I did some broadcast about coming out of deception, basically. And I always talk about different aspects of following God and what it can do for your life. And the Lord loves us. He's got our back. But we got to trust him. We're in a position where when he speaks, we got to listen to him. Now, Satan, when he was Lucifer, when he was an angel, a holy angel, there was nothing wrong with his mind. There was nothing wrong with him personally. But his focus changed, just like Balaam's focus changed. This joker used to love God until he looked at the societies that worship God. See, heaven operates when we look to the Lord. We can do anything. We get on board with God by looking at him. Our focus and attention is on him. When people see something they like, their focus, their eyes wink at it. That's why Job's friends asked him, "What does your eye wink at? What has captured your attention?" And this is a term people don't use anymore. But let's look at what he was saying. If you're watching something long enough, your eyes has to blink. To make sense to us, his friend would have said, in our dialect, the way we use language, "What is your eye blinking at? What's got your gaze? What are you staring at? What's got all of your attention? Or what's got the top of your attention?" Now, as long as we look to God, we'll have it changes everything. Jesus said it this way: if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Now let's reverse it. If your eye is divided, you're looking at God, but then something else has your attention as well, then it's going to change everything. It's going to change the way you conduct yourself. It's going to change the way you prioritize. It's going to change the way you give advice. If your focus is changed, you change with it. So our strength is in yielding to God. And then we're fully supplied and loaded with his strength. We can do all things through Christ. If he's got the top priority of your gaze, you're looking at his word, you're governing your life by his word, you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Understand right now, you can't fail. Why? Because you're being fully supplied by the wisdom of God, the strength of God, the logic of God, by the love of God. And you're being fully supplied wherever you need it. And then you can turn your head and look at the problem, and it became much smaller and more manageable. And you look back at God and you get stronger, and you look back at the problem and it's reduced even more. And then you use the knowledge and wisdom to conquer the problem. And the next time you have a problem, you know what to do. You look back at God and you deal with the problem. You look back at God and you conquer your problem. Easy. when you do it that way. But sometimes when people look at the problem, their eyes blink at it. It looks insurmountable, and doubt creeps in. Now remember, doubt is a surrendering focus. Doubt is a focus. People don't doubt unless they see something or hear something. Anything that can get your attention and you focus on it and surrender, that's doubt. But faith looks to God, only God. Faith doesn't look at doubt. Faith is looking at God. And you only need a little bit to get the job done. But you can't have doubt in your heart either. So most of us have to receive enough, at least enough faith to get the job done, and then enough faith to cancel out the doubt. And then we'll have our promise. God can move, and it'll be legal in heaven's court. Everything God does is legal in his own court. So if you have faith in your heart and doubt in your heart, you're not going to get it because you're unstable. Sometimes you have to work to get the doubt out, and then you can fully operate by your faith. Many faith teachers have taught these things, and they ran into it, and they had to learn these things. Now, I like making things as simple as possible. I've always had to sprint preach, because cold religion didn't want the knowledge of God out there, just like I explained yesterday. The church has struggled with healing, and Jesus is about to return. We should have mastered healing by now. And it's still got people out there wondering whether it's God's will or not. And then you got people that teach that it's always God's will, and when they get in pain, they wonder if it's God's will or not. People struggle with these things because everything on the earth has influence. And don't underestimate people. I learned from God not to underestimate anybody and their influence. I just look to God more so when I have to deal with people that don't believe like I do. I love them. Now, I got to say this. There's no animosity against anybody if they fail, if they disagree, if they teach wrong. If they believe on Jesus Christ, at least they won. They're out of Satan's kingdom, and I thank God for it. I learned a lot from other people's mistakes, but I don't look down on any of them. Now, I talk about things and decisions people made. They were not the best decision. They couldn't finish their course. I was angry about it for their sake. I wanted to see them win. And they probably thought I was trying to build a greater ministry than them. I don't know. I don't believe in competition when we're one body. Or they had fear and they didn't master it. At least they got saved and they'll go to heaven. And they still work to get other people to go. If they're not against us, they're for us. So they love God too. They just didn't master what they stopped short somewhere. I'm not pointing blame. I'm just saying I have to teach these things because many people, even most people, are doing what they did. I'm just turning the lights on and showing you that you have to overcome sometimes, even though people are contrary. It's not God's fault. And the deception, it's not completely their fault either. Most of the reason deception lingers is because people don't fight back. They don't resist it. See, if you lean to your own understanding, you're not going to seek God. If God says something, you already got something in your attention. And God's word won't be as strong to you. If your focus is already fixed on something and you already have a made-up mind about things. I surrender my made-up mind. Now, once God showed me something by the Holy Spirit, that's when I stand firm on it. But if it's something that it, you know, sometimes I can't tell when it don't fit the word. The only way I can tell when it's not the word is by receiving more word. The more I receive from God, then the Holy Spirit has something to work with, and he can help me destroy. See, deception has to be destroyed. And looking at the Lord and doing what he say will help you destroy your deception or false teaching, same thing. Now, rebellion is different. Rebellion is when you know better and won't do better. But it'll strengthen you so you'll have courage. Sometimes it takes courage to get out of rebellion. Sometimes people rebel because they don't want to face, face shame. Or they're afraid that the people will look down on them. There was one preacher that pastor told me about. He taught wrong. And then he learned better, but he didn't correct. He didn't go back and tell the people he was just wrong. And the Lord told him to do it or he'd die. And he still didn't do it. He was afraid of the people. And then he died. Now, see, the laws of sowing and reaping are still in effect. God couldn't stop the fact that he was going to die because what he did damage. If he didn't go back and warn the people that he was wrong, then the damage that they did to their life because of him, he'd have to pay for it. And it shortened his time. See, false teaching can get you in trouble. Big trouble. You got to give an account for it. So I listen to the Word a lot. As much as I can all day, I'm listening to the books that God prescribed. Now, I used to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. But I'm going to tell you something. Listening to the Word is not labor to me. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. Some people can't wait to get home and watch TV. And I love to watch TV just like everybody else. They feel like it's a reward. Well, that's how I feel about the Word. Now, when I'm working, I have my... I got a smartphone and a Bible app on it, and I listen to it with the Bluetooth speaker. I can hear the Word, and sometimes my neighbors can hear it if my garage door is open when I'm working. And I try not to be a nuisance. I try not to let it be too loud, but I got this air compressor that makes a lot of noise, so in the middle of the day, I'll turn it up so I can hear it when the air compressor come on. I wish I could put it somewhere else, but I don't have a place for it yet. So I listen to it loud. And then when I'm working, I have a Bluetooth speaker in my ear. And I can hear it good till they crank those diesels up. Diesels make more noise, and you can't hear anything but that stupid diesel. Anyway, beyond all that, I listen to the Word a lot because I minister a lot. So I need to make sure that I can see God so that I can make the best judgments. I have to minister to people just like I'm doing now. And I don't want to say anything inaccurate. Sometimes if you listen to these broadcasts long enough, you'll hear me get scriptures misquoted. Out of place. Sometimes I don't really know precisely where they are. I have to tell you around about where they are. And that happens because the Holy Spirit called for it. I don't always remember where the scripture exactly is, but he helps me do my job. And the more word that I receive, the better I can benefit people. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Now, I said yesterday's broadcast how there would be times I would minister and I could feel the virtue leaving my heart. I can feel the word leaving. But since I've been studying like I do, I don't feel the word leaving like I used to because my heart is full of the Word of God. When you listen to the Word of God, you want to hear more of it. And when the Lord teaches me something, it's so wonderful. It's the most wonderful thing I ever experienced. When the Lord gave me a teaching to start opening things up. Remember when Jesus, he was raised from the dead and And Mary Magdalene came, excuse me, and he sent her to tell his disciples. She did. They came back. The tomb was empty. They were on their way back to Jerusalem or wherever they were going. And Jesus met him on the road, but he made himself look different. I don't know how Jesus did that, but he did. And they didn't know who he was. And they started talking about everything that had happened. And he said, what happened? He said, are you a stranger? They asked Jesus, are you a stranger in town? You don't know what happened? And then they told him. And then he started teaching them. And while he was teaching them, their hearts burned. Just like it did when he used to teach them. Now that's what I'm talking about when the Lord brings something to you. There are times that the Lord will all of a sudden show me a vision or all of a sudden start talking to me about something. Now, and that's what I always put on my highest priority, on the top shelf. I give it my best attention. And I get a good grip on it. And then I administer it when he says so. Now, and he walked along, and they still didn't know who he was until he started talking. And he acted like he was going to continue going. And then they realized it was him. Now, you know, when you look at these things, you're going to experience some of these things. When the Lord comes to you teaching you something, it's wonderful. Your appetite for the word increases. And your appetite of the world decreases. When a man gets saved, he still has to renew his mind. And until he do, some things in the world are still a loaded burden. And hard to get rid of and hard to walk away from. And while you're in that situation, the enemy will try to tempt you back into the world again. If people had parents that argued a lot or was rude in their speech, and they yelled at their children every time they talked. Now I've noticed that's how the adults, once they grow up, that's their speaking skill. Their parents shape the way that they're going to communicate with people. And they feel like they have to yell, just like their parents did. And it's hard to break. If people were feisty, if they had feisty parents, quick to get angry, then they grow up just like that. Unless they are inspired to do better. And that can happen by being around other people, seeing that everybody don't act that way. And they work on it. Some people actually work on things that their parents did wrong. If one parent was an alcoholic, for instance, the children, they'll saw what their daddy did or their mother did, and they'll hate alcohol, and they'll hate it. They'll despise it. They don't want anything to do with alcohol because of what their parents went through and what the mischief that their parents caused them and the embarrassment. Now, I've come from a good neighborhood, and some people would drink beer, but I didn't like it because it just didn't look right to me. I didn't think much of it. Some people would drink beer and they do fine. They didn't get drunk. Some people would drink wine and they didn't get drunk. But when I became an adult, and I seen people laid out in the alley because they were so drunk they couldn't walk anymore. And I seen people lose jobs and their families, and they tear up their cars, they tear up other people's cars, they get people killed. That's why I don't drink. Now Jesus' first miracle was turning the water to wine. I respect that, that's fine. But I don't drink because of what I see people who drink do. Their cars have whiskey dents. They look raggedy. They pee on themselves. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to have to deal with that kind of misery. And then the children, it just destroys. Whiskey destroys families. And families make up our strong nation. And then they got crack. And it's even worse. It turned people basically into zombies. And these are people that God cherished. He loves these people. And I hate drugs and what drug dealers do. I hate everything wicked. I hate prostitution, and I hate pimps, and I hate people, you know, I hate what they do. I hate the sin they do. But I love God and His people. Now, the world can, to some people, the world has a strong grip on their life. That's why it's so important for us to hear the word of God and operate under the anointing, to break the yoke so people can be untrapped. A lot of people want to do better, but they can't. They have no hope for it. They have no vision for it. But you can thrive in life as you go forward in Him. And the Lord will show you how to help people. And this, it can be so insurmountable to us. But when you look to the Lord, it's so easy to be a blessing. It's so easy to help people go forward. Oh, I'm out of time again. I was just getting cranked up. But anyway, when you look to the Lord, your focus is on Him. When your eyes wink at Him, when your eyes blink at Him, your gaze is fixed. Your attention is on Him. You're giving God your greatest attention. My friend, you're going to learn all kind of things. And all the things that trouble your life will be small to you. And God will be able to move in your life and bless you and take you forward. Everything that I'm teaching, everything that God has me saying, it's important. And God has so much to say. And when we cooperate with Him, that's when we can do our best work. When you run to His will, that's when you can really go forward. Everything that I learned from the Lord helps me mount up. You know, one scripture, one of the Psalms said, we mount up as with wings like eagles. In the spirit, that's precisely what we do. And it's amazing. Now, I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.